I don't like you. I don't like your rules. I don't like your face. I don't like fruit.
We know that.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 2nd, 2017. This is Mike Minotti and joined by my brother AJ.
Hello!
How's it going?
It's October.
Yeah, no.
That's crazy.
Right? It's like warming up again though. It's like the nights are cool, but
sun's yeah, out. We need to knock this shit off. I'm just getting over my cold. I don't want another one.
It's like the only one in our family didn't get a cold.
You don't have kosher salt?
That's for cleaning the grill. Calm down.
Just making sure.
Right here.
Oh, yeah, you got your shaker, squeezer thing.
Jeez, oh, Pete. All right, so, yeah, welcome to our show, everybody. This week, we're going to talk a little about the Super Nintendo. We're going to figure out what the best Super Nintendo game is. We're going to have that little fight. Probably not going to be a very long discussion.
No.
But
sometimes we might actually agree. But,
but we have a lot of other games to talk about this week. Thimbleweed Park, Cuphead, some other things. So you got your Super Nintendo, right?
Uh-huh.
So you're good. I've been playing mine a lot.
Yeah.
What have you been, playing on it so far?
So far, fired up Star Fox so I can play Star Fox 2. Let me talk about that real quick, because, boy, that game's great.
You like Star Fox 2?
Yeah. I like the structure of it
a lot.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat. It's not as complicated as I was worried it might
be.
No,
and, like, what surprises me is you could almost point this as a negative, but maybe because I don't need to be playing it for 20 hours.
I like that it's short.
It's short.
I like that it's short.
Even, the individual missions, there's nothing to them a lot of the time. Like, a missile? It's literally just, hop into space and shoot these three missiles. Like, I thought there'd be, enemies, and I had to work my way to the missiles.
Yeah, there's almost nothing in that game that's like a Star Fox 1 level.
No, and it shocks me that they haven't tried to, kind of replicate this structure ever since.
Well,
that one DS game, to my recollection,
I don't remember it that well.
It feels like it did a little bit, but it was a little longer than this in function.
Yeah.
But, if someone, if this were an indie game that used this structure, that'd be pretty freaking cool. I almost wish there was, a weird mode that you play this, a higher resolution with a decent frame rate.
I think it's neat, to see that Walker thing, you could turn a ship into the Walker, which we saw in the new Star Fox.
Yeah.
It's cool to, see, that was an idea that actually worked on a Super Nintendo. It was, cool.
And it's not, fake. The polygons actually morph.
Yeah, it's, crazy. It's, kind of impressive.
Yeah. And actually, I've been leaving it in the first person view in the space battles, and everyone kind of said this, and it's true. It feels like you're playing, an old Wing Commander game.
Yeah, it's really neat. There's nothing quite like this. Right? You can play an old game, right? But you can't really play, or you can play a new game that's made to look like an old game. You can't play an actual new old game very often. I mean, unless you just one you never played before.
It really makes me wonder where this would have sat had it come out as played.
Yeah, I wonder if at the time people would have,
pre Star Fox 64, but post Nintendo 64, right?
I'm not quite sure if it was quite that much.
Because it says copyright 1996.
Well, it might have been earlier than 96.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It would have been,
I think, around that, Yoshi's Island time frame, where, Mario RPG came out in 96, but it was, earlier in the year. It would have been around that. Yeah, it's who knows? I mean, that's one of the reasons why it was canceled, because it was kind of getting a little too old for this stuff. But, who knows what people would have thought of it. They would have appreciated it. They would have criticized it. But, we got it now. So, it's a really cool thing to throw onto this system.
It's so fun that it exists. It's just so neat to actually get a chance to play that. Fired up some Legend of Zelda.
That's one I haven't actually started quite yet.
I got where you find Zelda. I was just hopping around.
I think that's the one game on that system I've beaten more times than any other one.
Me too.
And I love it, but I play through, because it's on there. It's been released so much, including that Game Boy Advance version, which I played a bunch, because that was awesome.
Just playing at ROMs over the years and
stuff. Yeah, I played a lot of Link to the Past.
Well, so I, because I played a bunch with you too.
Played Street Fighter, Mario Kart, some Kirby Superstar, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what else is great is Kirby Dream Course. That game, I'm so glad they added that one on there. It's such a wacky, weird, fun
game.
I'm
glad that made the cut. I played some Mega Man X because that's one of my absolute
favorites. I've been kind of jumping around. The ones I've played through, Star Fox 2, which, like I said, isn't much. Mega Man X I played through pretty quickly. I was like, oh my gosh.
That game's so good.
Then I also finally beat Castlevania 4, which was super fun. By the way, none of that save state cheating stuff. You can make us...
they made it inconvenient enough that I don't want to.
Here's... What, the save states?
Having to get up and like physically hit reset. That's
my controller is next to mine. I mean, no, save states are okay if you're going to like literally stop
like,
playing.
Like, go eat dinner. Yeah.
It's like a one-time use thing, basically, yeah. Or yeah, if you're want to play something else for a bit.
It's the equivalent of, you know, closing your DS.
Yes, exactly. If it's like, save state as a sleep mode is fine, but none of this like save before
bot. Check, like, if I like am playing Final Fantasy 3 and I use a save point, do I have to also do a... save state, or is that like save to the?
It saves to the game file. Still. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But then, like, how do save states mess with that? I feel like that gets messy.
How so?
Like, okay, so.
Oh, if you save state before I, like, you save.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm sure that messes with it.
I guess I don't know. That's a good question. Who knows? Should they figure it out?
Just different save states.
Yeah.
Save, because that's like your checkpoint.
Right. I mean, you can't play Super Metroid without saving anyways.
Right.
I think
I play it with the CRT filter. I like the way it
really
looks. Yeah. I think it looks right, you know?
If you say so. I like it looking a little clean. I have an actual CRTV for that experience. Anyway.
I think it actually, like for a game like Star Fox, I think it actually helps the graphics. Because, like... When you play without that filter, they're like sharp, but not that sharp because it's like just a low res game. At least the filter kind of smoothed it out a little bit.
So do you think you'll be playing the Super Nintendo Classic more than the NES Classic?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the NES Classic, don't get me wrong, it's also a great collection game, but just the nature of those games is there. Right. They're a little more arcadey. I mean, you still have like Zelda and Metroid.
That's kind of the one. I mean, yeah, it's great to have the NES Classic and a lot of those great games, but it is interesting how. A lot of games on there are just, like, they're...
the better version.
Yeah, I mean, Super Metroid's better than Metroid.
Right. Like, The Past is better than Zelda. Mario World is better than Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, it is. I mean, people will throw
Mario 3. I just pissed off somebody for how casually I threw that out there.
And there are ones where it's like people might... You could actually maybe make an argument, but at least they're close. Like, Mega Man X to Mega Man 2 or Castlevania 1 to Castlevania 4. I probably would like Castlevania 4 more. It's a little bit more forgiving because you can whip around in all those different directions. Mm-hmm. It helps. So, did you look at like my mini reviews for this?
I did.
Yeah. So when I did it, I kind of just did good, great, and all time classic. Mm-hmm. And I think the ones I put in the all time classic tier. Let's see if you agree. If there's any you didn't agree with, mm-hmm. the big three: Mario World,
uh-huh.
Super Metroid, Link to the Past,
uh-huh.
Then Yoshi's Island. I put right there, uh-huh. even though it's much later. Then
Mega Man X.
Castlevania 4. I feel like Castlevania 4 is maybe my most iffy one for other people. I just really like that
game. Yeah, you're a little bit more of a Castlevania fan than others, I think. Especially classic Castlevania.
You know, Castlevania is weird for me because, like, Mega Man, I was always there. Mm-hmm. The same thing with, like, a lot of other things. Castlevania was more of, like, a...
like, last 5 years
kind
of thing?
Yeah, 5 years kind of thing. Like, yeah, these Castlevania games are pretty cool. Final Fantasy 3. I was almost iffy on that just because, like, in my mind, yeah, Final Fantasy 6, obviously, got them classic. But just, like, that version of it...
Yeah, it is, like, the you know, it'd be... What I would like to see, you know how everyone hacked the NES Classic pretty quickly?
Yeah.
I want to see someone hack this thing so I could, like, load some weird ROM that, like, combines the translation of the GBA one with the SNES one.
The sound quality of the SNES
one. Yeah, but, like, fixes the... what's the stat that doesn't work?
It's evasion or something like that.
Yeah, like
there's bugs.
There's got to be, like, a definitive ROM that exists.
Right,
that
that's the problem. It's annoying, too, because, like... like that Steam the mobile version of Final Fantasy VI could have been the definitive one, but they changed the entire art for no reason.
Just ruined it.
So, I've never seen somebody work so hard to make something worse.
Right.
They had to replace every single asset with worse ones.
Yeah.
So.
That weird.
Anyway,
we divert.
Yeah. So I think those are all the ones I had on the all-time classic specification. I don't know if I'm missing anything. I know some people would say Earthbound. We just never have been.
Yeah, that was just never our jam. I never got into it.
There's like ones that like I personally like a lot that I almost could have, but I have to kind of recognize maybe all-time classics a bit much. Like when I say all-time classics, it's like one of, you could put it in your...
Did you put Yoshi's Island as an all-time classic?
I said Yoshi's Island. I didn't do like Kirby Superstar. And like for me, I could.
Sure, but yeah.
Mario RPG, I didn't quite do that for, but
that one's borderline.
It. Yeah, Mario RPG is great.
So what games... for the Super Nintendo, would you consider all-time classics that aren't on the classic?
That's what I was kind of wondering.
Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger is the big one, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, and then there's like... I don't know after that, really. I mean, there's a lot of good games. I don't know if there's any that I would, let me like get my phone look up best Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, like I mean,
there's a lot of
certainly nothing else from Nintendo. I'm just trying to think.
There's like the other Mega Man X games, and those are
no, but none of them are as good as one.
None of them are as good as one. The Donkey Kong Country games are all they're all about as good, but they're all about as good.
Some people I know have a preference for two. But one never really stood out above the other to me. In fact, I kind of didn't like two as much because I like Donkey Kong as a character.
Right. This isn't even like the NES where like it's a real shame that you don't have like DuckTales on there or something like that. You don't have anything quite.
Yeah, I mean like you know, Aladdin was fine. Lion King was fine.
Right, it's like, you know, like like Turtles in Time. I mean, that's great. I don't know if it's like all
That's close, but yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like crazy. Yeah,
not much.
There's some that would have been nice. Would have been nice to have Tetris Attack on there, actually. I mean, I'm sure some people might say, like, Final Fantasy 2. I don't like that nearly as much as... you don't have pilot wings. But yeah, there's nothing... That's what's cool about this.
Aside from Chrono Trigger, they're not really missing much.
And there's other ways to play Chrono Trigger at this point.
Actually, that DS version is fantastic. Just play that.
Yeah, so... So yeah, that's what's kind of neat about. So amongst all of those, I guess. So there's nothing else you want to throw in. That's the top tier of Super Nintendo we're deciding.
Uh-huh.
So we have to kind of figure out what's the...
the best.
What's the best one? I think we both have an inkling of Super Metroid, right?
Yeah. Like, the close number two is probably Link to the Past.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Here's my issue. Link to the Past, while in my probably top 10 of all time, it does fight with the other Zelda games a bit more. You know what I mean?
How so?
Breath of the Wild is in my top 5 games.
You got Metroid Prime 1.
Okay, Metroid Prime 1's good. I was going to go down to Breath of the Wild, Wind Waker.
There's a lot of other
Ocarina ones. Of Time. Like, I'll make arguments. You pretty much got Super Metroid or Metroid Prime. Mm-hmm. And like that kind of stops and starts the conversation. Fusion's good. Zero Mission's good. But like...
None of them are that good.
Yeah, and frankly, if I gun to the head had to pick, I could very quickly say, yeah, Super Metroid, don't shoot me.
Yeah, probably.
Zelda games, I'm like, bam, and I'm dead.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so think about that's why Super Metroid edges out.
Did you play it yet on this?
Not yet.
It was interesting because, like, you know, I just played Samus Returns. I'm like getting into this.
That's why I haven't played it yet, because I figure I should probably really finish Samus Returns before I like start Super Metroid.
Yeah. So I'm like, is this gonna like still hold up as much as like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, first of all, it kind of helps like the 16-bit graphic style is in vogue, and that was the peak, I think, of that style.
Oh,
like, it was just good. Like, there's the only thing that you could do is make it widescreen. Yeah. Like, I don't know what else you do.
Don't Final Fantasy VI it in, like,
right, like redraw the art or something.
No, it just looks great how it is.
Like, honestly,
the
like,
music is so good. Like, just like that whole, like, when you first get to Zebes or whatever people pronounce
it, Zebes,
really. And, like, it's like, at first, like, there aren't any things there, and you're kind of just, like, going down. You're kind of going through the areas in Metroid 1, and it's, like, real creepy, and it's just, like, so good.
Incredible.
I mean, yeah.
The gameplay is perfect. The controls are tight.
It's so cool. It's like, it was an atmospheric game before people were really using the term atmospheric to describe what video games could be like.
I mean, even just escaping the lab in the beginning, and it's like the screen's tilting, giving you that sense like, oh, everything's breaking apart.
Yeah, it's so cool. Just like just the things they were doing.
Just the end of the game, the escape
at
the end.
Great. All the boss fights.
The only thing
I thought that I found like slightly cumbersome playing it again is pushing select to toggle between like regular weapon, missile, and super missiles, and you get over it.
It's just a button.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, like to pick something.
It's super nippy. Is Link to the Past number two? Man, it sure is real good. The cool thing about that is, it could have almost just been like that first half of the game, like this really cool like 16-bit version of Legend of Zelda, but then it does that whole Dark World thing.
The Dark World thing is just incredible.
It is so
nothing
neat.
Nothing ever had done that before.
Right, it's like everything doesn't. Like so many things have done something similar to that
right.
At this point now. I mean, just like Super Metroid, there's so many Metroidvania games now. Like half of all indie games feel like Super Metroid at some point.
Even like, you look at Link Between Worlds, which is phenomenal. But where even that game falls short to the original is the one problem it did kind of face was like, you knew, okay, this is the bow and arrow dungeon, and like, you just use the bow and arrow the whole time. Okay, this is the bomb dungeon, you just like use the bombs the whole time. Like, there was no real creativity in the puzzle slot. You just knew like, oh, I don't do in this room, I'm just gonna shoot arrows until I find something,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Link to the Past didn't have that problem because it did follow the more traditional Zelda structure where you were building an arsenal, But you still had to go back to your old items and use them from time to time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was incredible.
Yeah, no, dreidel of deathing. That's my ultimate, like, kind of this one-time use dungeon tool from Twilight Princess.
Right. I mean, yeah. It was essentially an open world game.
Yeah, really.
In an age where
and it wasn't as a, you know, it wasn't as obtuse as the first Zelda. Yes, like you can
actually play it and beat it.
Right, yeah, you knew what was going on. So Super Mario World not as good as Super Metroid or Link to the Past? Here's a more interesting question. Super Mario World or Yoshi's Island?
Now I'll take Super Mario World over Yoshi's Island. Here's why.
I might take Yoshi's Island.
Yoshi's Island is a phenomenal game. It almost gets too stressful for me.
Well, yeah?
Because the management? Because not only are you running and jumping, but you got ammo, and you're trying to aim and shoot, and shit's flying at you, and the baby's crying.
That's why it's so cool. That's why it's so good. It's crazy.
If I want to kind of challenge myself with a platformer, yeah. And again, that art style, like the whole crayon aesthetic that they somehow got in a Super
Nintendo. It's so cool looking.
It's incredible.
It almost makes you wonder. You almost wish the Super Nintendo maybe had two more good years left on it.
Yeah,
because right? They were doing some really good stuff there at the end on that system.
Super Mario World, I mean, so much of it is nostalgia. Like, we played that game for 10
but
years
and never got bored. It is a little bit more like what I'm saying. Like, it is more of the 16-bit Mario, more so than even maybe... I mean, I guess Super Metroid's kind of the 16-bit Metroid. It's just done so well. Zelda was the one that, like, threw that little bit extra on there.
Right.
I mean, you had Yoshi, which is awesome.
I mean, I think Yoshi was incredible.
You know what I like about Super Mario World? And there's a little bit of that in Mario 3, but I love, like, the little secrets and
right,
little
hidden
paths. Right,
all the weird little star
maps. Yeah, the world map is still the best one in a Mario game,
actually. Yeah, that was incredible.
Actually, why is that world map so much better than all the other ones?
I don't know.
Well, the world maps are so boring in these games. Even, like... Mario Galaxy 2 was basically like a line, and sometimes it would branch down.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think part of that is Nintendo's like worry that, like, you know, 4-year-olds won't find all the content. But like, we were 4, we found that content. Like, yeah. We figured that we didn't have the internet. We knew every secret on that map.
How did we know about that Boo Castle? I feel like everyone had friends who told you.
Right. That was
a porn, because that's how you can always stock up on fireflies and feathers and Yoshi.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah. So Final Fantasy 3, I think kind of my other problems with it stand just like
I would put Mega Man X next.
I'll tell you what, Mega Man X.
I'd almost put that before Mario World.
I think I might.
I might too.
I might.
Like, Mega Man X, that's my favorite Mega Man game. Like, it's incredible.
It's one, I mean, you know how much I like 3. I might like it more than 2, actually. I don't know. It's so, when I was playing it again, it is super fun.
And again, much like Super Metroid, just incredible controls, good, it just felt good.
It has that perfect good game feel where like the physics, the controls, there's a third component to that, physics, controls, and like, I don't know, the weighty.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, the weight of the game felt right, like that dash mechanic felt good.
Right, it's like you always kind of felt like you always could do what you kind of wanted to do. Yeah, the dash is so much
fun. Like, you know, you finding all the secrets and getting the Hadouken,
and you know what?
Like, incredible.
And it's still. A lot of the X games kind of got away from it. Even some of the later Mega Man games in general, all the levels are too long. Like part of the what makes Mega Man work is that each level is kind of relatively short. So even though it's really long or really hard, it's not that frustrating when you lose. Really,
yeah, because you're not going back.
That's kind of like organic Cuphead said, but it's kind of like what Cuphead's like. Like each of these boss fights are 2 minutes long. So when you lose, you have to start over again. It's not like and you're right. Like Mega Man X4, there's like loading screens between, like, in the middle of the level they're trying to get. Yeah, it is weird. Just that series was never quite as good as that one. Like, there are some good ones, but man, X1 was really well done. I guess Castlevania 4 is the other one we haven't really talked about. I haven't even played it yet, so. God, Castlevania 4 is just super fun.
I'll take your word on it.
It's the same. It's weird. It's the same kind of thing with, like, game feel. It's a very different kind of physics. Mm-hmm. It's very heavy, is kind of what it's known for. And it is harder.
It's methodical.
Right. It's kind of like. Like, Super Ghosts or Ghouls and Goblins. Is it Ghosts and Ghouls on that one? Ghouls and Ghosts. Kind of goes too far in, like, the difficulty where, like, it's, like, almost, like, rote memorization. Where Castlevania, there's a little bit of that. And that can be fun in a way, how you get a little better every time, you know. But there is still, like, this reflexes and this critical thinking. Like, Super Ghouls and Ghosts so much is, like, how well do you know the level? How many times do you play this now? I mean, it would still probably be on the bottom tier of, like, the quote-unquote all-time classics, I think. But yeah, man, Mega Man, like, where does that go in? It's definitely the best third-party one.
I think it's number 4 for me.
4. It might even be higher. Might be better than...
Or no, number 3, I meant to say.
You like it? Yeah.
I go Super Metroid, Zelda, Mega Man X.
I might...
Then Super Mario World. Then I'll do Final Fantasy. Then I'll do Mario Kart.
What about Chrono Trigger? Do
you like? I'm just going with the classic.
Yeah. Well, with what's on there. Well, we're kind of talking about the system. I mean, Chrono Trigger is the only one that's like in that conversation that's not quite like that's not on that system, and it was the mini one.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Oh, the important. Yeah. God, Mega Man X out there might be even number three for me. Might be number two. I don't know. Maybe not. But the important thing is Super Metroid is number one. It's the best Super Nintendo game. All right, so that's settled. What an argument. I'm glad I talked you into it.
That was one of our more cordial conversations on this show.
Wait till we get to like the best GameCube game or something. No, it is the best. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking, that's rough, actually, because that's actually a much...
No, that's easy.
No, it's not. It's a much tighter race for me.
For you, it is, because you're a Smash Brothers junkie.
But not even that. Wind Waker and Metroid Prime, I think I like those games equally.
Wind Waker.
Maybe Wind Waker, yeah. I don't know, Metroid Prime's so good, though.
Oh, it's great, but Wind Waker's better. I flipped from the Super Nintendo generation, you see.
I hope they go out to a GameCube Classic Edition.
I see an N64 Classic Edition. In our future. I don't know about GameCube.
I want it.
Yes,
Penny wants it, too.
I mean, part of the problem is each of those games is a gig and a half.
They'll get it. It'll cost a little bit more, but they'll get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so...
There's 32 gigs in the Switch.
All right, so Cuphead.
Boy, what a cool-looking game.
Yeah, it's really neat how it literally does just,
I've seen the videos, but until you're playing it, it's striking.
Like, each time you fight a new boss. And I like how it actually does, I'm gonna, one more time, all right. You go on about Cuphead first.
Yeah, now you come with your tail between your legs.
Hey, you're coming over there, you dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
a... What's the matter? So, yeah, it's the weird little touches they get right about the art style, which... really feels like a silly symphony cartoon. Like, I think that's the era where
it's a lot of Fleischer stuff. That's a lot of Fleischer, a little bit of Iwerks. I saw somebody say Tex Avery and I got mad.
There's no Tex Avery in there?
Tex Avery's way later.
Yeah.
I mean, he was working at this point, but he wasn't doing Avery cartoons. Yeah,
you know, the wolf with the eyes and the tongue. No,
it's not Tex Avery.
But, like, when you walk into that pig's shop, and he does, like, that weird... crappy voice recording that they only do in the 20s.
Yeah. It's, like, this perfect... It's, like, nostalgic and cute and also unsettling. Like, everything about the art style.
Yeah, because, because all that stuff's... Like, go watch any of those cartoons. Weird. They're all a little weird.
Yeah, they're all a little creepy. A lot of
talking inanimate objects that shouldn't move that way. Yeah.
And it's cool. It is neat how they took this and decided we're basically gonna make a Contra with only the bosses.
Yeah, there's some run and gun levels.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. At first, when I first played it down, I'm like, I hope they put actual levels in. So what's it just gonna be bosses? And now I like that there are a couple of those running levels, but they almost are completely extra.
Yeah.
I don't even think you have to do them. Like, you need to.
I think that's where you get coins, yeah.
Right, but you don't have, and it actually works really well. It's the most elaborate boss rush game ever.
Yeah.
Because that's what's cool about it. That's what the good part, because that's where you get the big animations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a lot of it is they're relatively short, but they're just really hard. You can't have to learn the fights.
It's one of those old school games where I'm almost watching the boss more than I'm watching myself, because you really need to see their tells.
That's why
it's very old school.
Especially some of the earlier bosses, like the homing attack, which is weaker, but just automatically aims. It's nice, because you can just focus entirely on the dodging and the platforming and stuff like that. It's cool, because you actually have to mess around with your loadouts and stuff.
Yeah.
But just a really slick looking game.
Yeah, it's fun. I really like it.
I'm on the final boss.
It's hard as shit. Yeah,
it's very hard.
It's so hard. I'm like, well, co-op it. Two of us can take it down twice as fast, but apparently they give it more health, so.
I think so.
It's got worse because it's there's so much shit on the screen. Yeah, what is
going on? Co-op's fun, but I think it is much harder. Like, even though if one of the players dies on co-op, you can do this counter move on them and revive them, but it's still so much harder.
Well, the problem is you're a floating ghost, so if you happen to die towards the top of the screen, you're just gone.
And I'm pretty sure the more you die, the faster you start floating.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like you can't. So. There's not an infinite loop.
And you only come back with one hit point too. You
right.
Come
so back with all three. So it's not helping that. So it's actually seems more difficult to play it with two players, but. Yeah, really cool game. So, worth the wait on that one.
Yeah, I agree. I hope it does well, because apparently those guys went through hell developing it.
That's good. Well, I heard some weird game site had a video where they're playing it badly, and it gave them a lot of publicity. So.
That's funny. Oh, change that from the Y button to the right trigger or something. You'll do yourself a favor.
Yeah, the button is littler.
That's a bad default control scheme.
That's why I had trouble with it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and as I said, if you do change controls, it changes that graphic in the tutorial.
So I also been playing Thimbleweed Park on the Switch.
You talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, I've been really getting
still digging it.
Yeah, it's cool because like I sort of got to like the part where it opened up a bit more. Like think like leaving Scab Island, you can start going to like the
Tri-Island area.
Yeah, kind of a bit like that. It's cool. Like, there's a lot more characters you can, like, switch between and stuff like that. But it is just really cool to play, like, this old-style play-click adventure game. The kind of weird thing right now is I'm actually beginning to develop a backlog of, like, only Switch indie games that I, like, I'm not just curious about, but I, like, really...
Yeah, like Golf Story. Well, we just found out Stardew Valley comes out this week.
I need to beat this because I've got Golf Stories people are saying great things about, and it's, I've been hoarding off on Stardew Valley. Like, at first I just didn't get to it, and then by the time I was like, okay, I finally gotta get to this, because I liked Harvest Moon 64 a lot. Right. I liked the Game Boy Color one. I hadn't played it in a while, but I really liked it, and it was like, oh, everyone says this is great. I can't get to it right now. I think it kind of came out, like, in an Overwatchy time or something.
Something, yeah.
Something happened. But now it's like, and then as soon as they announce Switch, we're like, yes, I'll play it on there.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, and that's going to be such a great Switch game.
I'm glad to see the Switch is fulfilling the promise I held for myself. Nintendo first party games, a few third parties here and there, things like Mario Rabbids, and indie games.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. I really hope that this continues to be like the indie game machine. There's that SteamWorld Dig too. People are going on.
Yeah, everyone's going on about. It's like a Metroidvania and Dig Dug mashed together in a weird way.
Yeah, and then the interesting thing is like we're getting third party games I wouldn't have expected, like Doom, Wolfenstein. Basically, a lot of this Ubisoft support has been
Bethesda.
Excuse me. Yeah, no, been pretty surprising. So good first year for the Switch, really.
Yeah, not bad. So Mario comes out this month.
That's crazy to
me. Oh my
God, I can't wait.
You know what else comes out this month?
Assassin's
Destiny
Creed. 2. No. There's a lot of things.
That was me trying to segue. I want to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Go ahead. You're still playing Destiny?
Yeah. Right. Yes. Okay. So did you hear about the faction rallies?
Yeah, a little bit.
So this was so fun. It's so, Mike, this game's so smart. It's weird saying this about Destiny. So the way this
works. About shaders, that's good.
Yeah, fuck the shaders. I'm over it. Almost. Almost. So what they did now, the factions were in the first game. You had to, like, buy an item and equip it, and you're only getting rep for that faction. And you're
that's annoying.
Part of what helps now is you don't buy specific gear like you did in the first game. You just get engrams every time you like turn in enough tokens for either the guy on a planet or the faction leader or the vanguard, whatever, right? So what they did is at the beginning of the week, you had the three factions. You pledged to one of them, and that was your faction. Like, boom. You don't have to equip anything. You just are. So I'm Dead Orbit, okay?
So Dead Orbit was always the right choice. That's a good name. Oh, the Future War Cult, I liked their color scheme.
Yes.
But their name seemed aggressive. Then there's that third one that sucks.
New Monarchy. Actually, the New Monarchy shaders sucks. On the Dead Orbit Titan gear make you look like Iron Man.
I know, that's funny.
Yes. So the way it works then is just as you're doing just everything you're doing otherwise in the game, public events, Crucible, strikes, Nightfalls, raids, all of that, you're getting tokens for your faction.
It's like a spot fest.
Yes, this is exactly what it is, actually, now you say it. Every day, they have, like, a focus. So, yesterday was Crucible. Just doing Crucible matches got you bonus tokens for your faction. Today is going in Lost Sectors, which are, like, the little mini dungeons on Io. And there's, like, caches inside the Lost Sectors. Blow those up, you get bonus tokens. Every time you turn in, you get random loot. Couple purples, usually, each time. And then, at the end of the week, whichever faction had the most tokens turned in, their gun will go on sale to everybody. Wow. If you were on that faction, you get it for 1,000 glimmer. If you weren't, you can get it for 50,000 glimmer.
Oh, that's
so that's funny. Like, yeah, it's cool. And like they'll do this like maybe once every 4 to 6 weeks.
I am looking forward to this game.
Here's what's incredible about this game, Mike. I had 40 minutes to play this afternoon when I got home from work before the kids woke up. In that time, I got 6 purple engrams and a bright engram.
That's pretty cool.
That's unheard of progress in Destiny 1. Like, you couldn't do that.
Man, I'm almost overwhelmed with how many games are coming out. I know it always happens, but I mean,
but what's good about this game is, and I figured this out, aside from, like, I know I mentioned, like this faction stuff had, like, some daily things to do, but everything's pretty much on a weekly timer. So, I can see where the really hardcore are annoyed by this, because it kind of slows their progress, but for me, this means I could play just, like, a few hours a week, and I'm not falling behind. because these weekly milestones are the only things that give you power level above 265. So that's really how you continue to progress, aside from like the raid, which again is on a weekly thing.
But I kind of mean just outside of Destiny.
I know.
I mean, I'm thinking about it now. It's like Mario.
Yeah.
Destiny. I'm like, you know, look, I'm so...
I'm just pumped because I'm playing all this stuff.
You notice me trying to segue out of Destiny and you keep pulling me back into it?
I wanted to finish.
You're done.
Fine.
God. Do you notice what's going on here?
What else is coming out in October, Michael?
No, but seriously, come on. I mean, these are all games that I assume that I have to play. Is Destiny... Middle Earth is coming out this month, right?
Assassin's Creed. This month,
I think that's this month. South Park is here this month or like early next month.
No Switch, no sale.
That would have been a great Switch game.
I know. I'm hoping they like announce one like after the holidays or something.
Can you imagine if Red Dead Redemption 2 actually did come out? That would have been
stupid. Oh my god! Thank God that got delayed.
Thank God it got delayed.
Thoughts on the trailer?
Pretty cool. I'm a little. So one of the reasons I loved Red Dead Redemption was that it kind of actually felt a little like some of the Grand Theft Auto games. You have quote unquote choices, but you're basically playing bad people. Red Dead Redemption, you had again choices, but you were playing a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried that
this guy's a little too evil for you.
I'm just gonna be a gang member. Like I hope I'm worried I'm gonna run into a mission. It's like kill this bank teller, you know, murder him, and it's like
I want to murder him.
So, yeah, exactly. I don't want to be a bank robber.
Tell you what, character model for that main guy looks incredible.
Oh no, I mean the production is going to be insane. But I mean, I'm excited. I keep saying this is like I have almost no expectations that this is going to be better than Red Dead Redemption 1. So you know, maybe I'll be surprised. But yeah. It's just Red Dead Redemption.
I hope, so good. Especially after the apparent runaway success of Grand Theft Auto Online, they get the Red Dead Online right now. Because like I remember like...
Well, they're definitely going to be working very hard on that. Probably annoyingly so.
I remember being so excited about that with the first game. It never really amounted to much.
I'm not going to be playing it much either way. I'll mess around with it a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm not too worried about that. I kind of know when it comes to online games, I'm going to like play Overwatch, Hearthstone, and like a Warcraft expansion when it comes out. And maybe like a little Final Fantasy here and there. Who knows? It's hard to imagine what online game is going to come out. Like... You won like Battlefront 2, we didn't even mention that. Jeez, that's like...
I cheesed my way into getting into the beta tomorrow.
Oh, is that tomorrow?
Is that tomorrow or is it Wednesday?
It's soon.
Wednesday.
It's soon.
Best Buy, like, you know, like you pre-order the game, there's like that empty SKU thing that goes into your cart and that's like your beta access. You could just buy it for 10 cents. So I did that. So yeah, I got the beta on PC and Xbox.
Oh. By the way, we're playing that on PC. Or at least, I'll tell you what, I am. That's all there is to it.
Have fun playing by yourself.
Hey, Chris is going to play with me.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
AJ, I'm not going to pay $60 to play the game on a system where it'll look worse and control worse.
That's not true.
I'm over it. It is true. It's exactly true. I actually had this weird urge to get a video card upgrade the other day. I talked myself out of it.
Yeah, you have what, a 970?
Yeah,
I mean, I went up to 1080. That was nice.
When'd you get a 1080?
I've had a 1080 for a few months now. You know that?
How old are the 1080s? I guess a year? Did. Yeah.
It was right when the 1080 Ti's came out. They dropped the price on the 1080s.
Yeah, maybe.
But then, like, the prices kind of went back up because everyone's using it to mine Bitcoin or whatever the hell.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's annoying.
So, but I don't know. Everything looks fine. The only thing, like, I have screen tearing on Overwatch, which is kind of annoying.
Screen tearing? You should have that. Turn on your VSync.
AJ, VSync.
Capture frame rate at 60.
No, it introduces lag.
No.
What are you talking
about? Not enough that you're going to notice.
Of course it does. No, you must be joking.
No.
AJ, it's a huge difference.
No, it's
not. I'm not being snobby. It's insanely different. AJ, it's an insane difference. Yeah, VSync gets rid of the screen tearing, but it's a ton of lag.
Then upgrade your monitor. Get a G-Sync monitor.
I think that would be the issue.
Yeah, that gets rid of screen tearing.
Okay. Well, the problem is my thing is only so much space for a monitor. It's not that bad.
You also need a new desk.
Yeah, desk is a little old. I can't believe you don't think VSync introduces like lag. No one plays
it. I have it all the time. I've never noticed it
holding you back.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna tell my Overwatch friends this and they're gonna laugh at you. We're gonna all laugh at you and be like, haha, what a dumb idiot.
Uh-huh.
Alright. Well, on that note, I think we can close the show.
Sure.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Bro Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the Apple
Podcast
thingy and Google Play. Leave us reviews. We always appreciate that.
I'm going to anchor.fm/EBP, where you were told me you were going to record a Star Trek review.
And I was busy today. I was just playing. I had to play Cuphead. I do have to beat Cuphead. I was supposed to write a review at some point. All right. This was everyone. We'll see you next week right here in the Exploding Bro.
Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.